Hey, everybody, and welcome into episode 22 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. On this episode, Kenny, Matt, and Nick talk about documentaries, some movies, Mom and Dad with Nicolas Cage, more Black Mirror. We finally get Kenny to watch a couple episodes with us, and we have some great talks about some new video games as well. So thank you guys so much for the likes, the comments, the subscribes. Please send in your emails, your tweets at us. Please follow us at Nerd Mosh Pit on Twitter. Also email us at nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. And thank you guys so much. Make sure to support the Malice Corp family of podcasts. We have some phenomenal stuff, malice-corp.com. And also our new Twitch channel, twitch.tv/malicecorp. We can't thank you guys enough for all the support. And lastly, we have our newest podcast to the family, the Quest for 100, where we will be watching 100 films in a year, discussing those films, discussing movies. Myself and Beacon from the website are talking all about movies on there. So also be on the lookout for Quest for 100 on the website as well. And look out for more news on that. So thanks and enjoy the show.
Hey, hey. I can't believe you.
There is no way you could go that I won't be with you.
Your granny lied. I'd rather be.
You're ready. So what are your deep set right now, dude?
Is this 22? What is this? Welcome in, Nerd Mosh Pit fans and friends and family. To episode 22 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. We appreciate it.
Episode where Matt raids.
Matt is currently in an LFR to finish up because our response to can everybody be on in 10 minutes was, oh shit, we're recording. As I finish this up, we'll go. But you know what? If I am distracted by this, I will completely cut this whole first section out. And I'll just add on the back calf is my attention span sucks. I promise, Kenny. I apologize.
This is going to be Kenny. Matt's best job of multitasking.
This is going to be all I've got for the year. This is going to be my only multitasking abilities for the year. I guarantee it. It's going to be a little bit of a shit show, but this is what our podcast is about, is, you know, having not being the greatest at this. So, Kenny, you've been watching Black Mirror, you said?
Sorry, I'm raiding.
No, you're not. You're terrible. You don't raid.
I can hear the keyboard going.
That was Kenny's keyboard. Tank. He's the one banging on keyboard.
I was a pretty good tank, right? Don't talk me down too much.
You were a great LFR tank.
I was a great LFR tank in Mr. Pandaria, man.
I loved you in LFR tanks. Because you were our LFR hero, dude.
Yep.
I loved you. I wanted to
We should start a guild called Best Friends for Life.
That's my ultimate diss whenever I'm playing something. If I pull that out and, like, Heroes of the Storm or something, like, the whole chat just explodes. Like, if it's full of WoW gamers, you can tell because everyone loses it. When you call someone an LFR hero, they go, oh! But, like, but there's times when I do it and people go, what's that? And I'm just like, Never mind.
Looking for, I don't know, what is that? Looking for retards? I don't know.
Retards. Yeah.
Retards. What did you say, Nick? You wanted to start a guild called what?
Best Friends for Life.
No, there's already that guild and they suck.
I know, but still. Because Leroy Jenkins, man.
Leroy Jenkins.
So, to have some sort of consistency, yes, I did start Black Mirror.
We've had great consistency. What are you talking about, man? What are you babbling about over there?
No, I'm just saying I watched the first 3 episodes of season 4.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I can't wait to hear what you thought. Okay, so let's go. What did you think?
It is a phenomenal show so far from what I've watched.
Nice. Fuck yes.
There's some parts that are just a little much even for me. That's just like and that's saying a lot, you know. I mean, if you can that make a game that weirds Kenny out,
yeah, you definitely can't watch it if you feel in the dumps, man.
You really can't. It's a pretty depressing show for sure.
Like, because we're not talking about like 100 years from now. We're talking about the near future. We're talking about something that can happen.
No, I wouldn't go that
within
far.
The next 20 years. With some
I wouldn't even go that far.
Yeah, not everything, but within the next 20 years, I could see some of the things on there coming to fruition.
It's pretty far-fetched, though.
I mean, 20 years is a little close for that. But you know what, though? The one thing I will have to say is Bryan Cranston is producing a show on Amazon to kind of that same idea, you know, that kind of idea of near future, you know, end of the world, you know, that's kind of that the political overtones that Black Mirror is with some of these things. But they say the one thing that Bryan Cranston's version of Black Mirror is going to have that Black Mirror does not have is that hope factor. So I kind of agree with you guys as far as like,
yeah,
don't watch it when you're depressed, but at the same time, I think it's a good feeling. I think it's a great feeling personally.
I didn't get that miserableness with the first episode of season 4. I don't know what everyone's talking about. I really liked that episode.
I love that episode. Really, I thought it was phenomenal. Great. I loved it.
First episode of season 4 was good.
Yeah, that one definitely left me on like a bright note. It was funner, you know. There was some comedy thrown in there a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
I can say with 2 and 3 that same train is not there. the comedy train is far gone.
Yeah.
In those episodes, but the one thing that I did, kind of note, Matt, it's kind of like what you said, people, it's definitely not Twilight Zone, like you said, it's not the Twilight Zone,
definitely,
but I do like the modern, like you guys said, everything's got that technological twist to it, and with how much I think a lot of people, before we talk in detail about the episodes, I think a lot of people are kind of very much misconnected with how exactly in tune everything is already, and they just don't realize it.
I could absolutely agree with that, dude. I think people don't realize, and Nick, and what I will say with your point of is as well is how close we are to that world because of how much freedom we give away through technology for free websites and information and things of that nature. But I can't agree with you enough on that, Kenny. I really can't.
So like the perfect example is, you know, I've always been involved with tech, but especially in my recent line of work, you know, I work with some advanced IT stuff, and I don't even think I've really scratched the surface, but just some of the stuff I've learned, I work hand in hand a lot with people who know a lot about IT, and they've even told me, like, I am kind of scared. You know, knowing what anyone can do on a computer and everything. One time I went to like this little conference kind of event thing, and I was talking to one guy one night. We talked for like, I think 2 hours outside a hotel about this. I was just like, it's crazy how everything's like connected, how everything, you know, and it's kind of one of my jobs is to try to connect everything I can in the workplace to one another so we can talk to each other easier and get, I mean, going digital makes everything efficient, right? But the one thing, like, I'm talking to him about, I'm like, man, I think, you know, it kind of weirds me out a little. And he's like, yeah, it scares me with how much I know about IT. It scares me what someone can do with a computer, you know. And it's just every literally, if you have a cell phone, if you own a cell phone, there's no, I don't care what anyone says, there's no sense of privacy in that. If you have a cell phone, it's not private.
No,
You can think it's private. You can think you and your friends are having private combos, but in the end, when it gets nitty gritty, none of that's private.
No.
Absolutely.
And practically, you know, you're almost your whole life, you know, there is, you know, if you're using the internet right now, theoretically, if someone really wanted to try, they could look at my homepage of CNN.com right now. You know, it's not a far-fetched thing. And especially when it comes to, you know, a lot of stuff I've been, you know, learn and do at work is remoting into computers and doing some maintenance, you know, from my desk on a computer on the other side of the country. You know, it's like it has to do with the network, but if you have access to the freaking, you know, Time Warner network in your neighborhood, you know, theoretically you could really have a disgusting heyday. The amount of, it's just like people, a lot of people at work have work phones. You guys have work phones?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you use them only for work?
Yes, mine I do. And you know
me
that.
Too.
You know mine, yeah.
Me too, right?
Yeah, I'm only work.
I do the same thing. I have a personal phone and a work phone, and I have a bunch of people at work who have work phones, and they're like, oh, I canceled my personal phone. I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that.
You should not do that. Yeah, you should because not do that.
It's everything, especially when you're talking from a corporate standpoint, you know, that, yes, you know, work phone can be used for personal phone in certain times. For instance, my wife will text me on my work phone during the workday because I'll always have it in my pocket.
Yeah.
But, you know, my friends don't have my work phone number. You know, I take it with me on trips as like a backup phone sometimes a lot. You know, but it's not, everything is tracked in the most minute form. And I think if anything is showing the issues of privacy and security, and Black Mirror is just like putting it on the wall. Like, there it is, white, plain text right there. Now you know why some things are very important, such as, you know, just internet privacy, just securities in general, networks. Just how deep can you go into someone's life with tech, you know?
We all know that there are certain websites that are flagged, that anytime you go to particular websites, it's going to raise a flag.
Well, it's every website. It's called AdSense. Everywhere you go, it's flagged, you know? So
you know you're being watched to an extent.
You're being watched everywhere. If you open your web browser, you can be watched, you know? It's not – if you pay for internet, you can be watched. I mean, I've looked up ways to truly be an incognito computer user, and you can generate, you know, fake IP addresses that are based in Germany and Sweden and stuff through a sidehand program, but then it bogs your computer down. You know, I mean, the closest thing you can do is to set up your own personal server in your home, which I've been slowly researching doing because my father-in-law does it. I work with a lot of servers at work now, and I think I could manage, you know, handling it on my own, but it's a big investment. You know, you've got a whole freaking server rack in your room all of a sudden.
Yeah,
but man, it looks cool, doesn't it?
That would be, the thing is, that's kind of the dream though, is to like have your own servers and things. Cause that is truly protection. But also at the same time, man, like you're right. Like, what's the investment of that, you know?
It's I want to say, after like looking it up, like the investment to get your own mini server for like your personal home,
yeah
I want to say the total investment is a little bit north of 1,000. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
You don't need to, if you're trying to like run a business, you know, you're not going to use a server like that. You know,
no.
I purchased a server at work that costed $30,000, you know, so, and that was just literally a box. That's it, you know, but it, with a rack and everything, you're looking like a little bit north of that. But once you do that investment, you know, you don't need to upgrade that every year.
Yeah,
you know, it's just for your personal use. So, you know, it's made me think, like, should I start buying little pieces of this, you know, because my father-in-law's a freaking, he's got like Cisco networking, like authentication and stuff. Like, he's done all sorts of classes and stuff. He could totally help me.
Nice.
You know, get it nice and good. You got to have room for it too, but man, it would look so cool. I'd put like little lights on
all the lights and everything just moving around and buzzing everywhere. Yeah, man,
it's crazy. You walk into his garage and it just goes,
that's nerd boner stuff right there. That's nerd boner for sure. That's
you hear the fans.
Oh, sure.
If you don't watch like Silicon Valley on HBO, like that's one of the big things. Like, you know, they have their own servers and things like that, and they're always trying to get more power from it and cooling it off. And, you know, it's just, it's so much fun to be around that stuff and see that item as well. I just think it's awesome. I think that's really cool. So let everybody know now, Kenny, get him while you can before he gets his own servers up. So go
that's
after
true.
Him. So obviously a fan of Black Mirror. That's awesome, dude.
I think the cool thing about Black Mirror is each episode is speaking to what is going to
what, Kenny? We lost
Kenny.
Skype hates Kenny.
That's the second time, man.
No worries. Well,
he's probably hearing everything we're saying.
Oh, he's still
like,
going.
God damn it.
He's still going, probably wondering why we're cutting him off. You sons of bitches. Yeah. I can hear you.
He's
why
like,
can't
you sons
hear
of
me?
Bitches.
This is so rude. Oh, okay, he's back, everybody. See, we can kill time like nobody's business, dude.
I did the unplug and plug back in. Sorry, I ran out of USB plugs on my computer.
Uh-oh.
Motherfucker.
How did you run out of USB? What, keyboard, mouse, headphones, mic? What else are you using it for?
The party.
The party.
One sec, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just hang out. Anyways, Nick, what have you been doing this week, dude, while Kenny's figuring his stuff out?
Oh, dude. I've actually accomplished a lot.
How about now?
Yeah, nice. Yeah, we got
so
you.
So my first...
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
you. Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
I'm sorry, man. Sorry. Yeah, that pisses me off.
Dude, you're okay, man. We love you still. That's what this is about. No, I'm not even going to edit that out. I'm going to let that be a wonderful, awkward moment for us.
Just let it ride.
I have one USB port that just sucks on, like, the top of my computer.
Oh, really?
And, like, and sometimes it'll just, like, randomly disconnect. And I thought I plugged my mic into... There's two of them. And one of them's, like, meh. You know, so I thought I plugged my mic into the right one, but it doesn't look like I did, so. Oh,
that's not good that you have a meh USB plug, dude.
I have, like, it's been like that. It's like one of the little add-on ones on, like, the very top. It's just a loose wire. That's all it is. But I just haven't felt, like, really taking apart my computer to deal with one little USB plug when I have, like, six in the back of it. So.
It's like, just don't let it happen again.
I get that. I get that. For sure.
I wonder if there's an open one in the back. I don't think there is. I think it's all plugged up.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's crazy that you're filled up already. I'm close. Between keyboards, mice, headphones, microphones, I think I might have one or two open right now. So I guess I'm close, so I can't shame you too bad for you being filled up on USB slots. So
I just finished episode 3 of season 4. I, like, just finished it.
Which
during
one is
lunch
that?
Time today.
Which one is that?
That's the one with the memory recalling device and the insurance.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few of those, which I don't...
That's a crit.
Which one is that?
I know which one he's talking about. He's talking about the one where at the very beginning... she's with her then boyfriend and they hit a guy on a bike.
Oh yeah, that one was really good. Where she's going around for the insurance policy.
That
might be the darkest one that they've done, because of what happened at the end.
What do you guys? So I'm really glad that's the most recent one you watched, because that's one of the ones I really want to talk about. Like, what?
Oh wow!
If we were accessing memories like that, right? What would be admissible in court for something like that, right? Like, you know, the insurance agent is like, I will never tell anybody. I won't show anybody. It's okay. I'll never say anything. But do you think there would be a point where just seeing that on film of that, where it could be supposed memory? It could be modified. Could they use that in court if that guy was, in fact, missing and dead?
Well, today... You can, like, this has really not a whole lot to do with it, but doctors can break doctor-patient confidentiality if the patient's going to hurt someone else or themselves.
Yeah.
With this, she witnessed something into where, even though it's supposed to be confidential, she witnessed something that was someone hurting somebody else.
Yeah.
So maybe they could break that, just kind of like that.
If you're thinking from, like, a basic, yeah. I mean, yeah, if we're going to think like that, you know, technically, yeah, I guess it could be, but there's nothing, I mean, what she says was altering what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, and what I kind of thought about
it. Did you notice the one point when he said, was it the girl when she was interviewing him, you know, the guy in the teal jacket, and she said, oh no, it was a green jacket or whatever, and then all of a sudden, as she was watching the memory, the jacket changed because of what the girl told her. So it's all a matter of perception. You can actually change someone's memories if you make recommendations.
That is true.
It's all, and so they talk about it. It can be suggested differently. It can be perceived differently, right? So that's the thing where I was talking about, like, could they even really do that? Because things like you know, the lie detectors. What are those actually called? What's the actual name of those? The
polygraphs,
right? You can't use those in court. Like, they get thrown out, right?
Yeah, they're inadmissible.
They can be corrupted. They can be manipulated, right? And that's just one of those things. Like, with this, I feel it would be kind of the same thing where, you know, that would, I don't think you could hold that up in court. Because it could be something that's altered or changed and things like that. So I don't know.
What if someone just has a vivid imagination to where when someone's being interviewed about something, their head's somewhere else and thinking about something else.
But that exact person that's now reported missing and gone and they can't find him or dead in the hotel room. You know, that's the thing. Like, that body would eventually get found, right?
Right, but they never had actual, like,
Sammy?
They didn't show his face. All right. So they had no face to go off of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. They didn't have a face, I guess. That's true.
I don't think it could be admissible in court. It's too much hearsay. I mean, it could be changed just by what someone says.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree.
In a future like this, where they're at least using it in insurance cases, then yeah, it's okay in court. If it can be used in an insurance case, they can go to court with it. You know?
Yeah. It just depends on how accurate those things are.
So
in
crazy.
The show.
So crazy, right? Like, I kind of love that idea.
This is what I loved about the show, though, is each episode is really making you think. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like episode two, I've been asking people opinions on it at work, like people who have kids, and I even asked my wife.
Oh, that's the one with what if you would track them, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that is something I could see in the next 20 years.
No way would I allow my kid to have a chip like that.
So here. Okay.
But here's
so
the thing, though, is I don't have a kid. I don't have a kid.
See, and so I had this discussion with Heather, and I used to think like that too. But once you have a kid, when you guys have, you know, kids one day, you're gonna have that moment where you can't find your kid, and you're never gonna, even if they're in the same house as you, they're in a room and they're being quiet and they're not answering your name when you call it. Yep. You're gonna have that first moment of dread. And there's it's not losing a dog. Sorry, Brutus. I'm not sorry.
Sorry, Brutus. Oh, Brutus.
Just not the same.
Why won't you chip Brutus, you son of a bitch?
He is chipped, actually.
Oh, I was gonna say, I thought I remember you saying like him and Olive were.
Yeah, they both are.
Yeah.
But it that moment of dread is apparent when you can't find your child.
Oh, dude.
Is something that you can't, I mean, nothing is important when that happens. Like, literally, there could be a nuclear bomb coming down. You could be like, well, where's my kid? I gotta find my kid. Where's my kid?
Yeah.
So the one thing I brought up, I was talking to Heather about it. Now, the whole vision implants and stuff, that's too much for me.
That's crazy. The vision implants are whoa.
But RFID tracking, if someone could tell me, we're going to give you the ability to give your kid a shot and you can track them until they're 18 years old on your phone.
I would go down.
Listen, Nick. I'm saying that this is a theoretical thing, right? But if they told me only you could, guaranteed, it is literally impossible for someone else to track your kid, I don't see how a parent could say no to that.
But the thing is it would never be only – it could never be only you. Because we just talked about anything that's tied up to any type of connection to signal, which would be the internet, means someone would eventually be able to have access. Nothing is unhackable.
Someone can hack into it.
But if you take my scenario of
but has to be the world, Kenny. What's so great about Black Mirror, though, is see, it doesn't put you in a scenario; it puts you in the real world with a decision to make.
I think if
it doesn't give you a what if scenario, it gives you the real world.
But I'm talking in my scenario right now, Matt. Okay, but if you were a parent and they said, you can track your kid. Only you can track your kid. Guaranteed, 100%. Don't think about, one day, any of that shit. I don't know how you could say no to that.
Kenny, but that's not,
especially
that's
when
not
they're
the
teenagers.
Episode. That's not the episode. The episode is not only
you. He's just giving a hypothetical.
But what I'm saying is I talked to some people at work about this, and their first question is, well, who else could track them? And I said, okay, well, let's just assume it's only you. I had people at work say no because they said, I don't think I need to know. And I was like,
I don't think
really?
I need to know.
And they said, well, for years, you know, no one's had trackers on them like that, so why would we need that now? And I said, well, you know, I guarantee you years ago, if technology allowed it, it probably would have been thought about. I mean, for me, if I could know that I had a tracker in my kids that only I could access, and I could just know that regardless of what, if something horrible did happen, kid went missing or something like that, I could open my phone and find out where and then go kill that motherfucker, then that would be great. But, you know, obviously, like you guys said, in the real world, that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, it can never exist that way is the thing.
Yeah, there is never only one person extent. Has access.
Yeah, I mean, had, it could. You're
if
right.
You had, if, you had, if you had strictly like a one-on-one Bluetooth connection with it, yeah, but you can't do that.
What's the range on Bluetooth, though, right? Yeah, like, I can't track my kid across town with Bluetooth, you know?
So, but it found out something. Me and Heather had a whole discussion about it because I was expecting her to go, hell yeah. And she was like, no.
Good.
I was like, really? No. But then she was thinking about like the whole like seeing through the eyes stuff like that.
Yeah, that's too much.
And I was like, no, that's just way too much.
I personally like the tracker. You know, like the tracker, the I tracker. Feel would be a last resort. Because here's the thing, there's already those RFID trackers in bracelets and backpacks and pieces of clothing that you can give to your kid. Your kid can take, you know, have items on their persons that will track them for you. So there's already there.
And it causes complete panic when they lose it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they 100%. But here's the thing with that as well, right? Is the technology is already there to put that tracker under someone's skin. You can already do it to a dog. I mean, there'd be no harm in doing it to a child. It would just look weird on the kid's back or have a weird bump on their leg or something, you know?
But they won't even notice. I mean, I've been looking at RFID chips at work, dude, that are like, you can barely, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you put that into your
thigh, bro. Yeah.
If you put that into your thigh, you would not even notice. It's crazy, man.
Put it on a little hip right there, on a hip bone, or you know, a butt cheek or something, where there's a little bit of meat on them, and you would never know for sure. For me, you know, the way I was raised, and with not having children right now, and never knowing that fear of anything like that, like my mom, my ass got lost in stores and at fairs all the time. And the whole idea was have the meeting point, right? Like there's always the meeting point when we were kids, and that kept my mom from panicking because she knew we were smart enough that if we got lost something, like you just go to the meeting point. Like if it's that long and that wild and you're afraid, like just go to the meeting point and eventually someone will be there for you and looking for you.
Same thing with me. Do you know how easy it is to get lost at the State Fair of Texas?
Oh, dude.
When you're a kid.
Stupid. It's stupid.
Our meeting point was right in front of Big Tex.
Big Tex,
you get lost right in front of Big Tex.
You can see Big Tex from, you know, halfway down the block, man. You shoot a couple miles away.
So my parents were never, ever scared. Yeah. They were like, he'll just be right there in front of Big Tex.
Well, I'm sure they would get scared. I'm sure they'd get
scared. You think they were never scared, but that's not the case. Every parent now, when you guys are this age and talking to them, they're going to act so nonchalant. Like, oh, no, we never worried about it. Everything was fine.
Absolutely.
But that's just a bunch of shit.
Yeah, right. Because you know nowadays someone could be abducted. I mean, you can't take that
out of the equation. Even then, too. Yeah, even then, but too. Still. But the it's just like I said, like that dread of, you know, even when your kid gets sick, parents become nervous wrecks.
Yeah.
You know, and parents who have a 15, 16-year-old are like, oh, no, it was fine. You know, but if you put them in their shoes and that kid was 1 year old, they were nervous wrecks about it. You know, a kid coughs and you lose it. It's you put a lot of work into this damn thing, all right? You know,
well, like, my thing is,
I could see that.
Also,
better.
Is the fact that when you have that sort of system where you can look up where the kid is and things like that, I think that creates more of the anxiety, personally.
I agree.
I think the ability to know creates more of the problem with it because, you know, think about this, right? Like, I mean, how many times when we were young, Kenny, were we out when we lived at our parents' homes, we were out till 3, 4 in the morning and we did not tell them anything about that? How many sleepless nights do you think they had worrying about that kind of stuff, right?
So, like, here's the thing, though. I think there's a point when you don't need to have that on anymore. But I'm saying a kid until they get their driver's license, until they're 16, okay.
Wouldn't 16 and 17 be the time to get it? Because then you need to know if your kid's alive. You
know where they are. Yeah.
Now you don't know if the kid's dead in a car wreck. You don't know if this, you know.
It's like it's past curfew. Where are you?
My thing is, like, if you're going to put it on them early when you're worried about them when they're young and they can't really get anywhere quickly, like, they move quick. They cover some ground for sure. But it's
we're
not
talking about them like they're racehorses.
Yes, I do. Well, not so much racehorses, but racing turtles. They're more like racing turtles. They just run away from the circle from which they start in. You know, it's kind of like a shopping cart at Target. Once it hits that line, it just kind of stops. But bad Target joke for anybody that's been a cart shagger. Anyways, the thing is, though, is, you know, what's that point of worrying, right? Like, where does that line get drawn? If you're gonna worry about your child when they're a kid and a small child from what they see and what they feel, where they are just tracking, right? Like, and I think what we can do is can pull off this seeing and vision stuff. Like, I think we can pull that off the table. Like, let's pull that off the table. Let's talk about tracking,
bro.
Is that fair?
You know what could get crazy with that is if part of like a prenuptial agreement, like for married couples, is to get a tracker.
Oh, dude.
So their husband and wife will always know where each other are.
So I have.
Can you imagine that?
Well, because Kenny's gonna get into an episode later. With John Hamm and another character where it goes into something like that, Nick, that you're talking about, where a parent split, right? And when they have those chips to alter vision and things like that, that's a whole nother conversation for another episode after Katie watches that one.
So as far as, you know, tracking your kid, here's the perfect example. It was about a month and a half ago. A little under a month ago, we were all sick, and our newborn got sick, and that's no joke when a newborn gets sick.
Oh, dude, right? Absolutely. So no one. I don't think anybody here said it was.
We spent. No, I know. I'm just putting it in reference. So yeah. We spent. You know, Heather won like this little. It's called like the Owlet bracelet that you can put on a kid, and it tracks critical health rates. So, yeah. Pulse rate. Oxygen level and something else, right? She got that, and I was like, no, we're never using that because that's just going to make us nervous wrecks with a new kid. You know, you just get terrified about stuff, and just especially from stuff that's happened to us in the past, you know, it's a very nerve-wracking thing. I'm like, we're never using that. Well, one night is when he started to get a fever and stuff and just screaming, and you know, we're freaking out and we're trying to get some sleep before the doctor's open in the morning. So she put it on his foot early in the morning at like 1 or 2 in the morning, and at like 4 in the morning she was screaming at me from across the house, and I ran in the room and it said that his oxygen level was low. The thing was going off and flashing bright red, and it was like, holy shit. And we like freaked out. Like, yeah. I grabbed my daughter, I grabbed the car keys, like I sprinted out to the car because like we didn't know what to do, you know. And then like I was like, okay, you know, he seemed okay. He was just sleeping, you know. We woke him up and he fussed a little and he seemed fine. I like pulled out, I got on my computer and I was like, you know what, let me look this thing up. Then I
WebMD.
I'm rating. Not looking up your child's. No.
I know better than. I know, right? I know better than go to WebMD, especially with a newborn. No, just don't do that.
WebMD.
But and that's what I really like about our current doctors. When we take them somewhere, we're like, well, you know, online it says XYZ, and they're like, yeah, just don't listen to anyone online because they're not doctors.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But. So
they also don't have your kid in front of them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like symptoms, and that's why like you'll know you have a good doctor when they don't just generically worry about when they don't diagnose off of just one symptom. You know, they want to take into effect multiple symptoms before they have a diagnosis. So continue, Kenny. Absolutely.
So we freaked out, and then I get online and I look at false alarms with that bracelet, and I just find thread after thread of people going, yeah, the oxygen level goes off on me like every night, and my kid's perfectly healthy. You know, I don't know if I should keep this thing on anymore because it just makes me freak out. You know, and all these people are saying, yeah, you know, that's a faulty reading. It happens all the time. It's always going off at night, you know. But I mean, it may it made me and my wife have nervous breakdowns about it, you know, trying to make sure everything's okay because you don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the perfect example. That's what that system did for that lady, is it made her a nervous wreck.
Yeah. It made it worse for her, right? Like, and having like, that knowledge sometimes, and I'm sorry to cut you off there, Kenny, but I think that knowledge is the ultimate terror, right? Like they always, all the way back into Greek mythology, right? I mean, into the early days of even philosophy, is how much knowledge is too much knowledge.
Too much.
The cursed man is the man who knows everything. And knowing that, yeah, your child's oxygen level was low, was it really at a life-threatening level of low?
No.
You don't know. According to that bracelet, it was.
I looked up the number and it wasn't, but according to the bracelet, it was. You're right.
You know, and that's the thing, right? And that's where, like, these trackers for your kids and, you know, all these different systems and health systems and WebMD, you know, they're taking into account one thing. You know, that bracelet probably doesn't know that your child's sleeping. That bracelet probably doesn't know that maybe he turned over to his side and one of his nose holes got plugged up and he was just pulling in less oxygen than it was, and he's gonna roll over to his back eventually, right? Like, that bracelet doesn't know. Now, could that bracelet have totally saved everybody and done everything you needed to do? Absolutely. It could have done exactly what it was meant to do. But, you know, you just don't know. And I think where that was great about that episode, and it made me just think this whole time, and I was out here texting a girl, and, you know, I was like, you know, and I was kind of messing with her. I was like, you're totally the kind of mom that would put a chip into somebody like that. And she's like, no, I would never do that. I was like, but you're totally the type of mom that would put a leash on a kid. And she's like, oh, hell yeah, I'd put a leash on a kid. I said, what's the difference between that leash and that chip, right? Like, what's the difference there? You're still trying to hold on to your kid. You're still trying to do those things.
Yeah,
but exactly. And once again, what's that limit, right? You know, first it's a leash, and then it's a monkey backpack with a strap on it. And then next time it's a chip on their hand that monitors all their health. Then it's a chip in the skin that tells you where they're at. And then it's a chip in the skin and contacts under the eye lenses that lets you see everything they're doing, you know, and it's just that piece after piece after piece. And what I love about what Black Mirror did is it took it to an extreme level. And you saw something that it gave you both the good sides of it and the awful, oh my God, sides of it at the same exact time. And it does it with everything it touches in that show. And that's what makes it so
brilliant.
Good.
It's and a brilliant show.
What I thought was so cool about that episode, too, was the whole section they did on censorship.
Yes.
Or sheltering your kid too much. There's a delicate balance that a parent has to play in being the gatekeeper to what your kid sees. But I'm also under the impression a lot that, well, you know, you don't want to stop them from seeing everything because that's life. You're not going to be able to cover their eyes every day, especially once they go into school. Like, that's when you see everything your parents don't want you to see.
Well, that was my favorite part, is when the kid's telling her all about sex and stuff like that, when she took the filters off, and he's just like, the filters off. Were on, and he, you know, the specific words were being filtered. But did that actually stop the story and the graphic nature of what was being said? No, it wasn't, because it was just taking out specific words and items, even though he was still showing and doing all of those things. So I love that.
And it was one of those things too, even with me growing up, you know, I consider my parents were much more on the lenient side of things. It's like, you know, as far as like music with cuss words and stuff like that, they were kind of like, meh, you know, you've heard us, you know, or they're like, man, you've went to the river with us enough as a kid, you guys have heard us cuss each other out when we're drinking, you know, like whatever, right?
You know,
But the crazy part is just like, where do you draw the line and where do you establish that boundary? Like, I remember when I was a kid, remember it was right when they started doing all the mature ratings on games, and I would have to take my mom with me to the store. I would have to take my mom with me, and sometimes the people were like really cool about it. Like, okay, ma'am, you know, so the mature rating. She'd be like, yeah, that's fine. And sometimes people would even try to like talk my mom out of it. Like, well, you know, man, it's got a lot of blood and stuff, and your son doesn't look that old and stuff like that. And my mom would like, I remember my mom one time telling him, you know, like, don't worry about what my son does, okay? Just sell it to me.
Like, way to go, Miss Gary.
But my mom always gave me the lecture every time on the way home when, you know, because I would do chores for weekends on end to try to get money eventually to get a game, because usually it was just holidays and or just birthday and Christmas. And she would always hand me the game and go, you know, this isn't real life. And I'd be like, yep. And she's like, okay, you know, and that was it. And that was how that relationship went, you know. And I was so sad when, you know, I came into the real world and I realized it wasn't Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, poor Kenny. It's not Grand Theft Auto, Mom. I don't get points for hitting the cat and dog and the hookers.
The scariest part of that aspect of being able to block what your child was saying is that she wasn't able to realize that her grandpa was in trouble when he was having that stroke.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that was
no bad idea, because it was being blocked away.
Yeah. Like, it was so cool, because that hits on a big subject. And, you know, kids need to be, you know, especially when they're very young, when they're 3, 4, 5, I really think that sheltering needs, it's going to be interesting to see how I handle it, because I have a lot of opinions on entertainment and censorship and children and stuff. And I have one who's 2.5, and we're going to be getting to that point where it's like,
maybe not as much Rick and Morty around her anymore.
Yep.
But she doesn't really know any better yet. Well,
that's
Morty,
the thing. Well, that's what I'm saying. So. Soon, though, and it may be another, you know, 6 months to a year, you know, Rick and Morty
is
probably not going to be the best show for her anymore.
But here's a great thing, right? I was playing Overwatch like 2 or 3 days
having
ago.
Having her watch the fractured butthole is probably not going to be the best thing.
She wanted to sit on my lap while I played Overwatch. And I was like, it's Overwatch. It's okay. So I sat on my lap and I was playing Overwatch. And she was just the most peaceful little backseat gamer ever, just sitting there just watching me. And I had my arms around her, keyboard and mouse, and I was playing Overwatch. And Heather walked in and went, I don't think she should watch it. I said, it's Overwatch, though. It's no blood.
There's no blood.
No blood.
She said,
no,
but there's guns and missiles. And I'm like, yeah, but. And then she looked at me and I went,
SpongeBob has guns and missiles. I mean, yeah.
It's on the news.
And she looked at me, and I was like, okay, Ellie, we're going to turn this off for now. And she was like, no. I was like, yeah, I'm going to turn off the Overwatch. The Overwatch is nothing.
No, Overwatch is, I mean, that's the Nesquik of shooters, man. Like that,
yeah. Right? That's the best way to put it.
Hey, man, like, I watched Ninja Turtles all the time when I was a kid, when I was like 5, 6. I didn't go around beating people up.
But that's been the discussion since we were kids and the ESBR was around, right? I mean, Mortal Kombat, you know, was the edit of the blood necessary? Did it really stop showing the violence of that game?
I remember my friend had a sleepover when I was in elementary school, and we were all excited to go play games, and he rented Mortal Kombat, and his mom made him filter the blood. And we were all like, what?
Oh, on the Sega?
Devastated. That's rough.
What about on the fatalities? What would it do then? I forget.
It just wouldn't have blood in the fatalities. There was no blood. There was no blood effects in it.
What about like if you ripped out a heart?
No blood, man.
You still rip out the heart.
You still rip out a heart. But that's the thing. In the old Mortal Kombat, though, the blood was, you know, it was big blobs of graphic piece, right? Like, it's, you know, it was all there, so...
Oh, the blood
was that just got changed. Basically, everything just went to green. Well, the Super Nintendo turned it green.
Did it?
I think so, yeah. I think it just turned it
green. Yeah, they turned it a weird color. Yeah, they did.
It was made like slime, from what I remember.
But
I could be
the
wrong.
Point
correct
is,
us.
Like with a lot of these
everybody
games,
email us at
beat up people.
Everybody email us at nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. If we're wrong on this stuff, let us know.
Yeah. And like what I was saying before is like, we played all these games when we were kids, but I mean, I don't think any of us have like assault charges because we went out and beat people up because it's like, oh, I played Mortal Kombat when I was a kid, so now I have it in me to just beat people up when I have a disagreement.
Wow.
And but I think that's where the whole parent discussion comes into play, though.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
If you park your kid in front of a game and never explain to them the difference, then that's what happens. But my parents always explain.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I would have loved the infinite amount of time, my parents were pretty picky on how often I played games, too. You know, if it was a Sunday and they're doing chores around the house and stuff, sure, you can play games. But, like, weeknights, it was like, you got all your homework done, you got this done, you got that done, okay, you can play for 30 minutes. You know, and it was a limited dishing of games for me when I was a kid. It wasn't... But I think that's, you know, it's the same thing with TV. Even even now, me and my wife will even get in arguments because I'll be like, you know, it'll be a long day for me. I'll make dinner, you know, give her a bath, and like, man, I just want to sit for 20 minutes and like cruise the web, and I'll just blindly say, hey, you want to watch a cartoon? Okay, let's watch this cartoon, and I'll turn it on. And then my wife will be like, no, she's watched enough today, you know. And it's like, oh shit, damn it, you know, because sometimes as a parent with little kids, you know, you just, I'm sorry, sometimes you just want a fucking break.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you gotta look, you gotta think in perspective. And luckily, Heather's the good balance of that and says, no, she watched a little bit this morning. She's fine. Let's see if she wants to color or something like that, you know. But sometimes you're like, man, can I just like put this movie on repeat for the next 6 weeks and just call it a day?
I'm cool with listening to You're Welcome on Moana again. It's all right.
Hey, Moana is still like, such an awesome movie.
I dig Moana. I'm not gonna lie.
It is such a good movie. She watched it tonight with her cousins because her cousins are sleeping over tonight.
Oh yeah.
And that damn theme song is just
Hawaiian one with all the drums, or the Moana one.
The Moana one, and then the one with the Maui guy singing. They're so catchy.
They're good. I know them all. I've seen that movie multiple times.
Play soundbite now.
Then I make everything happen. Look at that.
Okay, good.
Okay, which one are we putting in there again? I don't know. Whatever one that gets placed in there, you're welcome.
There you go. Just do that. sorry, guys. Have you guys seen the video of the Costco cashier?
No.
There's a video online of a Costco cashier somewhere, and he looks like Maui from the movie.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And these little girls go in like once every like 2 weeks or something with their parents to grocery shop, and they force their parents to go to the line with Maui so they can say hi to him. And they record it, and they go to say hi to him, and then he brings them behind the counter and does his little like his that little scream he does in it, like
the like, whatever.
It's like Tahoo or something. I can do it. But he does it like perfectly. And the little girls like jump up and scream and clap their hands. It's so adorable. You gotta look at that.
I hate you for doing this to me. Because here's the thing, man. So I blame Kenny for how awful my YouTube stream is now on like my suggested videos, because it's filled with creepy fucking haunted house shit. And I'm going to have to look this up, and it's going to be a bunch of adorable little kid stuff.
Oh, it's there.
I hate you for this. So you're not welcome or anything like that.
And you just clicked it.
Nope, I'm not going to. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to click it. We got a show to run here. I already rated. I can't watch a video now and be completely distracted while I'm doing this. So what else is going on in the world? We had a great conversation about Black Mirror. There'll be more of that to come. If you guys want to join the conversation, hit us up on Twitter at Nerd Mosh Pit. Once again, like I said, Gmail at nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. Or you can join any of the other shows at mousecore.com as well. What about movies? You guys watch any cool movies out there?
I finished a documentary.
What doc did you watch?
It's called Born Strong on Netflix.
It was
about bodybuilders, like the Arnold Strongman bodybuilders.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a really good little watch. You know,
I actually really enjoy watching a lot of that. Obviously, I'm not the pariah of shape and fit men in this world. By any means necessary, but I always enjoy those documentaries. I really do.
It was really good. And
yeah, I watched one on Arnold one time.
It was actually a documentary on like the top four competitors in the Arnold Classic, or the Arnold Strongman World, whatever the big one. And Mr. one of the guys has been in a documentary. I think it was on Vice before. But it was done very well. It's just a great watch. It's just crazy to see, like, you know, it's one of those things where you see a guy, a big guy with a big beer gut, and your reaction shouldn't be he's fat. Your reaction should be that guy could rip me in half, you know, because like
yeah.
these dudes these dudes just 24/7, they eat and they lift weights and they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat. And they eat and it's
their whole regimen. That's the thing that's
different, though, between the Arnold, like what Arnold did was Mr. Universe, and you know, that was about physique and look. These guys, the actual strongman competition dudes, it's purely about power. And, you know, it's crazy, purely about power. And those are actually some of my favorite competitions to watch in the world, because things like the keg toss and the Atlas stones.
And the pulling the trucks.
You know, the Atlas stones is my favorite because they're, you know, they're moving basically 500, 600 pound stones up onto pedestals. And it's crazy.
Like, it was like one of the, at the very beginning of one of the championship parts at the end, one of the guys breaks the deadlift record, world record, and it's like 1,029 pounds or something.
I think I know which one you're talking about, because the guy, he like goes for the deadlift record for that documentary, right? Born. I think I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah, sure, it just came out.
Oh, maybe I could have sworn I saw that one, but maybe it's a different one or something like that.
But it is that probably the same guy, because he was in, like, I want to say it was a Vice doc. No, it might have been an older Netflix documentary too. He was on.
Maybe he's just updated.
Yeah, it's the same guy, you know. But they follow the mountain from Game of Thrones in it.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the guys.
Absolutely.
And they follow a big guy from Colorado. Yep. And
that's the exact documentary. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Maybe they like re-released it or something.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. No, that's awesome. So, anything else about that one, Kenny?
No, just that I thought it was a good little watch. All
right, so I
started binge watching a TV show.
Oh, what'd you watch?
Well, you know, with this particular show, it's super popular, but I've only watched bits and pieces.
Okay.
Show here, show there. But I started binge watching from the beginning, but Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, dude, I've watched every episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I binge watched it last month, and I've got all but like 5 episodes left. And I can't tell you, I laugh more at that show than anything else in this world.
Yeah, same here. I'm through season 2 right now.
Yeah.
But Larry David is me, but just older.
Larry David
that's exactly
is the
how I am.
Biggest asshole, just awkward dickhead in the world. And I love that Curb Your Enthusiasm shows that off, that he just doesn't care about anything or anyone except himself. And it is hilarious how great that is.
I've never watched it.
It's amazing, dude.
Yeah, it's an amazing show, Kenny. You gotta watch it. I'm not as selfish as he is. But I do get in those moments to where I get irate for like no reason that normal people wouldn't get irate.
Yeah. And you just can't let it go.
Yeah, I can't let it go, and I have no filter. Like I literally have no filter. So my brother like called me as soon as he like started binge watching that show. He's like, dude, you're just like Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm like, and now I understand what he's thinking.
Yeah,
and no, that is totally me.
It's basically, and I think we've said this to you before, Kenny, but Curb Your Enthusiasm is an R-rated Seinfeld.
Yeah, I've always heard great things about it. You know,
it's comedy gold,
phenomenal show.
It's a great show, comedy gold. Richard Lewis makes a lot of appearances in it.
Richard Lewis is so good. A big fan of Richard Lewis.
You know what? I did watch one movie.
What'd you watch?
Oh.
I think you might have saw it too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that next. Let's talk about that next, because I want to talk about something else I watched first. So I watched a brand new Netflix movie that came out called The King of Polka with Jack Black, Jason Schwartzman, and Jenny, I can't think of her name right now, does all kinds of stuff. She was on SNL. She was the one that dropped the F-bomb on SNL and got kicked off the next day. I can't think of her name. Jenny Slate. She's in there as well. And basically, it's about Jack Black. He is a polka singer, band leader, if you will. This guy named Jan Savan. And he is the king of polka in Pennsylvania. And he's super famous, but he doesn't make a lot of money. And so basically, he creates a Ponzi scheme from these old people that follow him and love him. And it's a phenomenal film about how he's, you know, made a Ponzi scheme out of all these old people's retirement money and then gets thrown away to the FBI, and all these old people get nothing from him, from it. So what's cool about it, though, and why I really enjoyed it, is a little bit of an awkward, kind of a dark comedy. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. But there is actually the documentary on the guy Jan Savan's life, with his wife, his family, his friends, all the old people that he took money from. And the documentary of him is also on Netflix, and that is called The Man Who Would Be Polka King. So a kind of a cool little way to learn about this guy, Jan Savan, and just kind of how much of, you know, everybody says he's the nicest guy and everybody loved him, but when it all came down to it, he's kind of a dirtbag. So I recommend it, checking it out. It's on Netflix right now. Some weird, awkward moments, some decent laughs, though. I had some fun watching it, though.
You know what? Great, just real quick, guys. So after season 4 of Black Mirror, do you guys recommend going back and watching old ones?
Hell yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, there's some
great shows. Just go from the beginning, then, season 1.
And once you finish season 4, just start back at season 1 and move through.
Okay.
Like we've said, there's not really an episode I'd recommend skipping. Maybe season 1, episode 1, but dude, it's not like it's a sense of humor or anything, but I know you would love season 1, episode 1, even though it's graphic.
I've heard about stuff with pigs.
It's graphic. Anybody that said that to you is a fucking asshole for trying to ruin that episode. So
yeah, fuck the guy.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, fuck you, Aaron.
Yeah, and that makes sense that it would be him.
But we still want you to give us a five.
He didn't tell me all the details.
But he would be the kind of guy that would go, "There's the pig, bro."
He didn't just say that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, sounds like I need to watch it.
Yeah, no. And that's, like I said, you could totally skip season 1, episode 1, and you really wouldn't miss a whole lot, because not a whole lot ties back to that episode.
Zero.
I mean, but it is graphic, and no, I totally, it's one of those things. Speaking of Aaron, I got a question about it. There's just some weird stuff that popped up over there. I was like, what the hell is going on with this guy? Anyways, Black Mirror, yes, you should go back, watch it. Now, as far as the film that Kenny and I both witnessed and saw, first off, can I just say, I know I gave I, Tonya some love last week on last episode, but I don't think I gave Allison Janney enough credit for how phenomenal she was in I, Tonya, and I apologize to Allison Janney for that. She is by far my new favorite dirtbag parent in any film ever, by the way. So.
Yeah, she's a big fan of the show, by the way.
Oh, Allison Janney, yeah, she tunes in all the time, man. Big fan, big supporter of Nerd Mosh Pit. So thank you for your 5-star reviews, Allison, and everybody else out there for giving us those 5-star reviews and love. But yes, no, Kenny, I really can't tell you how much I appreciated this recommendation. I saw you kind of talking about it and posting about it, I was like, I've got to see what the hell is going on here. Mom and Dad is the movie, starring Nick Cage and Selma Blair.
Yeah.
So this is a very different type of flick. I wouldn't say it's a B flick, even though I know it went straight to kind of home video and stuff like that. Even though it's in theaters right now.
Limited, though.
It's very limited, for sure. It was only in one theater out here in the Bay Area. But it still had some really good quality. The one thing I did like about it, like, more than anything, is it was actually very visceral type of film. There's some really cool angles and styles in there. But, man, does it get brutal all of a sudden out of nowhere. It never really fully explains why, does it?
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
So we have our theory.
Yeah. So right now, at this moment, if you really want to go watch this flick, if you're a fan of Nick Cage, like, I know so many of you that listen to this show are, I know you're such big fans of him.
He's been in so many bad movies.
He's phenomenal. You should all love and adore him.
Back in the box.
That's a good movie.
Put the bunny Connor. Back in the box. But this is now going to be a spoiler zone for Mom and Dad. So... Kenny, Nick, you're here, so you're going to have to listen to him unless you want to bail out now. So if you want to say your goodbyes, you're more than welcome to. We'll probably end most of the show on this. So
Nah, okay. I'll listen.
You're in,
I'll
dude. Probably watch you're, it you're in again, too yeah. deep now. Kenny, start spoiling the shit out of it. So mom and dad, all of a sudden, looks like a nice family household. Nick Cage has a couple of weird quirks in the beginning. Would you call him quirky in the beginning with his kid?
Yeah, just a little, you know, kind of dorky Nick Cage.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good way to put that. But something weird's going on. All of a sudden, kids are getting called out of school. Things are happening. All of a sudden, a kid tries to jump a fence at school, and his mother starts to stab him with her car keys.
Ooh.
And from that moment on, shit goes down. And not only does she, like, stab the kid with car keys, I mean, like, brutally bash his face in with her car keys and stabs his eyes out, basically, right?
Mom of the year.
And shit just goes wild. The main daughter, she gets out of high school. She gets out of there. Finally, she escapes with a friend. She meets up her boyfriend in the front lawn. She's seeing all these parents everywhere with blood all over them. But the thing is, they're only attacking and killing their own children. That's it. They're not attacking other kids. They're not. No one is in harm if it is not your parent, apparently. It seems to be going on.
So it, like, it starts off, they're all just, like, having fun at home.
Yeah.
And the kids go to school.
Normal day and kind then, of stuff.
And then the kid just keep, the teacher in the classroom keeps getting calls to send the kids out. And then all of a sudden, they release all the kids, and the school's surrounded by the parents just staring at the kids and telling them to come talk to them. And then an overflow happens, and then all of a sudden you have a dad chasing his son on the football field, and he grabs a trash bag and throws it over his son's face and suffocates him.
That was brutal too. Yeah, holy hell. Jesus.
This is
fucking crazy.
I gave it a very quick synopsis and not enough credit. I appreciate Kenny filling in some of the spots.
But it was just crazy because it was done in like a oh shit manner, not really a horror thing.
No, definitely not. It's more of a survival like zombie flick almost.
Yeah, it was almost like it was just we didn't know what we were stepping
in. It's kind of like The Happening when people start killing themselves.
My friend Aaron just sent me a text message of, like, the trailer and said, you need to come over. It's on Amazon for $5. I'm going to rent it. And I was like, okay, I'm on the way. Like, I will go watch Crazy Nick Cage any day. And I love how he just embraced his fucking craziness. It was so cool to see him just, like, say, you know what?
Other level embrace. I mean,
he was like, you know what? I am fucking Nick Cage. Fucking this.
You know, and the bigger thing is, it's a different, it's not so much even the crazy, it's the psychotic. I mean, it's brutal how bad he is in this film. I mean, and some of Blair too. Holy hell. Like, crazy.
And this is multiple mom and dads that are going
It's
crazy.
A whole city. It's a whole world. It's like the whole world, supposedly, but it focuses on one little city. So all this stuff is happening, and there's side stories of the kids at school, and
Home to the maid cleaning up a bunch of blood all over the floor, and then they're looking for the maid's daughter, you know. And then the maid freaks out. She like loses her shit. Everybody's hating on her. Like, it's so.
And she's like, I can't get the stain off of the tile, and it's blood. And she's just like overly scrubbing the blood, and these parents, you see them, like, they see their kid, and, like, literally, like, their facial expression changes, and they just grab something to try to kill their kid with, like, whether it's a stick, whether it's a rock. Like, it is a brutal thing to watch, but I highly recommend, you know, just getting together with a friend who's got just a bad sense of humor like you do, and just going for it, and just watching it out. And just,
I have a phenomenal sense of humor. I have a very dark sense of humor, but it's phenomenal.
Same here.
Nick, you would totally find it entertaining, but there is one scene that was too much for me, and I think they could have cut it out.
Which scene was that?
There's a scene with I guess we're going spoiler
yeah,
right now.
We're all
right?
Over the spoiler world, yeah.
There's a scene with a newborn.
Oh,
it was too much. I looked at Aaron.
Not cool.
I was like, that's too much for me, man. Luckily, it ended on a positive note, but it was going down a path that was like, this is too much for me to watch. I can't watch this.
Way, you know? Yeah, that scene right there, I mean, I was so uncomfortable that I was like, please end.
Me
like,
too.
Very rarely am I in a film going like, I hope this is over quickly because I can't watch this anymore.
The music was intense, and it was just like, legitimately made me like have a little panic attack. I was like, I can't watch this. This is too much. Like, it was crazy, but like, it was just so much fun just to watch something that was just so crazy, and it's all based on. God, what's the term called? It's an actual thing in like the animal world.
Were the plants making them do it?
We never knew. They did not M. Night Shyamalan us on this film.
God, what is
they
it
left
called?
Us to our own devices for that.
I'm actually gonna watch it as soon as we get done here. I got it pulled up here.
It's good. It really is good.
It's based on a feral instinct. And it'll happen even with dogs. You got to be careful even when dogs have puppies, because sometimes the mom will purposely kill one. But it was based on, and they talk about it a little bit in the movie, of where a parent or whatever gets intimidated by their young, and then takes them out basically. And it never really fully explains, you know, why it happened and all sorts of stuff, you know. But I mean, you got Nick Cage screaming Sawzall at his kids and sawing holes through door. Yeah, it's Sawzall, man. And he's like, and then he's in his like midlife crisis and it just but there's one point and there's some really good points in it though, especially as a new parent. You know, there's a point where he has like a mental breakdown. He's sitting with his wife and they were just screaming at each other, and he's like, yeah, we used to be, you know, whatever and whatever, you know, their real names, and we could go out and we had our own identities, and now we're just mom and dad. And it was like a really like cool moment. It was like, you know, because you kind of get that as a parent sometimes. You're like, man, I'm not kid anymore. I'm just dad, you know. And that kind of sucks sometimes. You know, you're like, I want to be an individual, you know. But when you're with the family, you know, that's who you are. And I think, man, I think that's what sets them off, is when the kid calls them mom or dad. Because if you notice at the part with the newborn, they say, congratulations, mom. And then the screen changes, and then that's when everything goes crazy. So I think that's what sets them off, is when they're called mom or dad.
It's very possible. It is absolutely very possible.
Maybe why it's called
that
mom
could be
or dad.
That could be the trigger. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a fun movie, man. It was twisted as hell, but it was fun. I didn't like the ending. I hated the ending.
So the ending as far as the parents showing up, or just the end of how it all ended in general?
No, just how it ended in general.
Yeah, okay.
I love when the parents show up, because that was just so stupid.
When they did, I was like, I hope this doesn't happen this way. And then sure enough, it did. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We're already this deep into it. Might as well.
And in the trailer for it, there's a part when he says, oh, yeah, my parents were supposed to show up today, huh? Oh, okay. You know, and I didn't even think anything about it, like, in the trailer, obviously. And then when we were watching the movie and he said that, I was like, oh, shit. Oh,
was
no
that
way.
Tonight?
No way.
Yeah. You guys still there?
Yeah, I'm
still here.
Okay. I was just, like, went eerily silent for a second. I was like, oh god, did I cut out? What happened? I was having some issues with my mic earlier. I had to completely uninstall my Yeti, download a new driver, and get it back on the system. So not good. I had a little panic moment. I was like, no,
it's like it was the rapture.
It was bad. It just quit, and it wasn't in any of my systems, nothing. But then I discovered it was a driver error and had to delete it all and re-download. So it was nothing too big. Anyways, but mom and dad, I absolutely 100% with you, Kenny. Recommend. Video games. So Iconoclasts is a new indie game on the PS4 and PC. $19. Some of the best $19 I've ever spent already. I've actually been streaming it on Twitch under Son of Maku, S-O-N-O-F-M-A-K-U. I did about 3 hours of it the first night I got it. It is a very Metroid, Castlevania-style dungeon-crawling scroll, side-scrolling game. Phenomenal main character, wonderful dialogue, great indie humor, really cool weapons as well, and great little puzzles. I love it. I'm loving Iconoclasts. It's out right now. I can't recommend it enough. Get it. And tonight at midnight, going into the 26th of January, we are going to be released, have Monster Hunter World in our hands, and I can't decide whether I'm going to buy it or not yet.
It's been getting really good reviews,
I know,
man.
The thing is, I already pre-ordered and purchased Shadow of the Colossus on PS4, and with Iconoclasts, I know what's going to happen is I'm already so deep into Iconoclasts that I will switch gears when Shadow of the Colossus comes out, and then Monster Hunter World will get left in the void of nothing, and I'm
so Iconoclasts.
You'll never play it.
Iconoclasts, I can't tell. Is it a platformer or?
Yeah, it's a platformer dungeon crawling game. It's a nice 16-bit style platforming indie game, and it's phenomenal. It's really, really good.
Yeah, the one thing I was looking at, and which is perfect timing, Matt. I don't know if you knew that this came out yesterday, I believe. But I need a game for when I leave town next week. And my mom, when she came and visited on Sunday, she brought a $25 Best Buy gift card. And she said, here. And I said, why are you giving me this? And she said, your dad won it in a gift exchange, and I know he's never going to use it. So I said, I'm going to take that and go give it to Kenny. So, which is perfect because Lost Sphere just came out.
Yeah, Lost Sphere came out. And I'm actually going to wait till after Shadow of the Colossus before I get Lost Sphere.
Yeah.
Because once again, it'll get lost in that void between the two games. Because once Shadow of the Colossus drops, my life will be very limited to any type of social or any other activity besides Shadow of the Colossus.
See, in Lost Sphere, the reason I'm leaning towards it especially is just because it's on Switch and I need a game for my Switch. And I loved Lost Odyssey, but I just couldn't stomach buying it again for Switch. So this is kind of the perfect timing for me. And hey, it's only going to cost me $25 now instead of $50.
Yeah,
so.
Lost Sphere is going to be a good one, man.
Supposedly, if you run through the whole game and do everything, it's pushing 100 hours of playtime.
That is insane.
And they're saying it's a huge throwback to all the old JRPGs in the reviews, but some people are saying that like it's a pretty blatant ripoff at some points. But for me, that's fine because I didn't play a lot of those classic JRPGs like the old like Final Fantasy like 5 and 6 or Chrono Trigger and stuff. I didn't play any of those, so for me, I won't even notice. You know, but they're like some scenes are like, God, it feels really similar to stuff we've already played before. But they said if you like try to grind like just a story, you can do it in a little over 20. But if you're actually going to play through the game as an RPG, which most people do, you know, you're hitting 100 if you really want to play through it. So
that's well. And the thing is it's the same company that made I Am Setsuna. And it's, you know, it's that same JRPG factory. And
yeah, they say it's like the spiritual successor to I Am Setsuna.
Yeah, well, once again, it's the same people, same world, same style, same ideas. They've added things like mech suits and a couple other ideas. I've seen some great gameplay footage, and I'm so excited to get my hands on Lost Sphere. But I am going to wait for after Shadow of the Colossus, which comes out on the 6th, I believe, of February was the date for that. So that's coming out really soon, and I'm going to keep going through Iconoclasts, and I'm going to do everything I can to resist Monster Hunter World until this weekend. I probably should just buy it now and then play this weekend, but I want to feel like I'm having some sort of restraint by not just purchasing it at this very moment. So, I just got too much. I have too much to do on tomorrow that if I buy it tonight, I'm going to stay up till damn 3-4 in the morning, and I'm going to be so beat for what I have a busy day, actually. So it's going to suck.
Yeah, my days at work have been freaking bonkers lately. Man, I really want to play Sea of Thieves. It looks so cool.
Sea of Thieves looks really good. And then Darkest Dungeons got announced for Switch as well. And
it's already out.
It's already out, which is even better. I love Darkest Dungeon. It is a brutally hard dungeon crawling turn-based RPG, but it is so much fun and great. It is... If Bloodborne and Dark Souls were able to be released on a Super Nintendo, that's what Darkest Dungeons would be. Like,
yeah, I played a little bit of it.
God, I love that. Oh, it's so
good. Sea of Thieves is really cool, though, but it's one of those games you have to be playing with people to enjoy.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing with Monster Hunter is, you know, you want to... Monster Hunter is really fun solo. I've played a lot of Monster Hunter solo for a long time because they didn't have online access. But, man, online with other people, Monster Hunter is such a great game when you have, like, four other people on chat and you're all getting that ass whooped by the same big-ass monster out there. Like, it's so good. I love it. I love Monster Hunter. And some of the new items and skills and weapons, like, it just looks great. And it's an HD. Yeah. It's all HD and 4K.
We really need to find a game that we can all play together online.
Oh, well, we need to do a Mario Kart night for the three of us, so I can whoop y'all's asses.
We should do that.
Oh, man, it's
but so we really fun. Do. We haven't done that yet. We've already done an online game to where we just sat there and played each other.
Yeah, it's just so hard for me to block out time like that anymore.
No, we'll figure something out one of these days. Maybe we'll do
a before show or after
show kind of thing for us. So. Anything else, guys? Any other games, movies, documentaries, TV shows you all want to talk about?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, I was going to say something. I actually got the accomplishment back in my life of finishing a video game. I finished the Fractured Butthole. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, how'd you like it, man?
Dude, it was awesome. You're so so right in recommending that game.
So much fun, right?
So much fun. So many laughs. It was basically just like one long South Park episode. That's basically what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
One long South Park episode.
Did you ever go to damn it. Did you ever find all of Big Gay Al's cats?
No, dude. I didn't know how to catch the others. It's like right? they're like on a tree limb.
Them either.
Yeah, it was one of them was on a tree limb. And every time you shot it down, it goes right to the bush, and there was no way to, like, pause time to get the cat, because you can pause time through your farts, Matt. But there was no way that you could pause time with your fart and then grab the cat.
It sounds like you suck.
I couldn't
figure it out either, Nick. I didn't know what it was.
Well, y'all didn't just pull up a YouTube video on how to get it done?
You know, we should have done that. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
If you ever get stuck
just get
in a game,
such a sense of accomplishment when I beat the game without looking up anything.
Oh, absolutely. That's the greatest part. But, you know,
yeah, if you're a completionist,
sometimes you got to go for the help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I never did the Big Gay Owls, all of his cats. That's the only thing I didn't do.
Yeah, that's the one I didn't get to either. But.
And yeah. I need to beat the game as
poor,
a black character.
Poor
too.
Big Gay Al and his cats. I can't believe you let him out like that.
Yeah.
Rude. Well, sweet gents, if that's it, man, Kenny's clicking away on something, so we're gonna move on. I can hear it clickety clacking over there, but I love him. He's my friend.
Huh? What this?
It's so clickety, loud. The clicks are so loud. It's driving me.
This is my mouse click.
I know.
It's like you're tap dancing on your keyboard.
There's my keyboard.
That's the sound tap I love dance. To hear. I love the keyboard. I hate the mouse. It's just like the single click.
Sorry, man.
I don't know why I'm even worried about it. I'm tired. I don't know what's happening. Anyways, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on episode 22 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. We can't thank y'all enough. Nick, where can people find you?
Raiders 0314 PlayStation Network.
Kenny, how about you, my man?
S-Wall Barefoot.
Y'all know where he's at. The Big Papa Matt on Twitter, Son of Maku, SONOFMAKU on Twitch, on PlayStation Network, come have some fun, play some games. Also follow the show here on Twitter at Nerd Mosh Pit, as well as if you want to join the conversation, you can hit us up there, or you can email us directly at nerdmoshpit@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think, what kind of shows you want to hear about, what kind of shows have you watched, movies you've watched, documentaries you recommend for us, video games, anything like that, or just join in on the conversation. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you for all of the 5-star reviews from everybody as well. We can't tell you how much we appreciate all the love and support. So thank you for everything. I hope you enjoyed the show. And remember, you know, when there's a great conversation going on around you, just treat it like a mosh pit and jump right in, man. Hope you guys had a great rest of the night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey.
Bye-bye.
Don't come back.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.